Election day is just a few days away. One of the areas we'll be voting in is District 9 representation. Joining me today is Boomer Wright, who is our current representative with District 9, and he hopes to be our next representative. Boomer, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I got any better, I'd be twins, George Henry.
There you go. Good thing, good thing. So let's talk a little bit about what's been accomplished since you were elected last. What do you like about what's happened?
Well, fortunately, we had plenty of money up in the state legislature this last year, COVID money in particular, so we were able to get some money down to this district. We brought in about $32 million to this district, about $16 million to the port of Coos Bay for their container terminal, about $14 million down to Lakeside for a water treatment plant, $1 million to Mapleton for their water problems that they're having right now, and the list goes on. So I was very pleased with people asking me for help and giving me plans. That's what I need. Then I can take that to the legislature. We also got the Green Bag program going here in town at Fred Meyer. I was part of that. And the new distribution plant down in Coos Bay, which will help the entire coast from Florence all the way down to Brookings. So I'm really happy about that. Also, we got some money for veteran transportation to the valley, so our vets have the opportunity to get to the medical facilities there. So that, I thought, was very important. I am on the education, early childhood education, behavioral health, and veterans emergency management. I also serve on three work groups, which are rail, broadband, and state gaming. So I've been learning a lot about the lottery and the monies that go there. That's quite a quagmire, to be very honest.
Wow. Yeah, you wouldn't have thought that. Hey, going back to the Port of Coos Bay for a little bit, the federal government's been really interested in making that a significant port. And I guess the state is also wanting to put more money into that to make that happen?
Yes, I think the DeFazio and Merkley are considering putting in about $4 billion, that's with a B, into the Coos Bay area for that terminal process. And they're also, of course, pushing the wind energy, which at this point I'm not very supportive of. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered before I think we start putting, 300 feet floats out in the ocean right in the middle of the best fishing grounds, crabbing grounds in the world almost. So until those questions are answered, how we can do that. I know when I was talking to the fishermen down in Coos Bay and in Newport, they're saying, why can't we push it out a little further? Let's get it out of the fishing beds. Let's move it out about 1,300, further than 1,300 fathoms, and then that would be okay. Of course, then there's, we're talking about electricity going in huge cables, right, into the valley, and how will that affect the fish and the fishing also? So there's lots of questions.
So also one of the big issues, we don't like to talk about it too much here, unfortunately, but is homelessness. And I understand you've made some headway. You've learned some things recently that you might be able to, kind of bring back to the region here.
Absolutely. My interest, not only as just a representative, but the Bay Area Hospital, we're going to close their behavioral mental health unit. And so I worked with some people to get them some money to continue it. And in that process, I got much more involved with the behavioral mental health and also the homeless issue, and really felt like there was two separate groups working together. We needed to combine those, coordinate those, so we have one voice. We're all the providers and all the people who want to support this. Then I made a phone call to Speaker of the House, Dan Rayfield, and asked him, I said, as I look at things, homelessness doesn't have a home in Salem. So what can we do to deal with this issue. We can't be pushing it aside. This is a crisis. Let's deal with it. And he said, well, there's four agencies that are dealing with it. And I said, well, but they're working in silo. They're working independently. They're not talking to one another. And so they're just spinning their wheels. And as far as I'm concerned, much of the money they're spending is being wasted and not getting where it needs. So I've asked the speaker to form a work group on homelessness to be able to oversee those agencies and make sure the money gets where we're at. I'll be working with the city council here in Florence and the city council in Coos Bay, North Bend, to come up with plans to get funding down here to support whatever we need for the people here. As we talked earlier, George Henry, I think there's three different classifications of homeless. There may be more, but I look at it as those who need help, want help, and will accept it, and we can work with them and get them back on the street. There are those behavioral and mental health problems that we need wraparound services for, and then there's the people with substance abuse who need wraparound services too. So those are three different areas, three different focuses that we must look at and providing wraparound services. And you know, as we deal with singles, either male or female, or single parent homes or families, I mean, all those other things, substance abuse, mental and physical and mental health issues play a factor. So we've got to have those services. It's just not about having a home and all their problems are solved. No, that just exacerbates it. Let's get them a home, provide wraparound services, and then we can get many of those back in society and being able to be a productive citizen.
It's going to cost some money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's costing money now.
True. You're definitely right. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, you know, how long can we live with the crime? How long can we live with people defecating on the streets? How long can we live with people in laying in the entryways to businesses? I mean, how long can we live with that? It's time to settle down, come up a plan, and make sure that we meet the needs of these people. Homelessness is a lot like education in general. And I say because education and homelessness represent what's happening in society. It's a reflection, not an independent thing. So we have to look at what causes homelessness and see if we can deal with it. And a lot of things have to do with legislatures and passage of legislation.
Well, and because such a length of time has gone on for homelessness, I think, in my feeling somehow, we've lost a little bit of the compassion that goes along with it, because we no longer see it as a compassionate problem. We see it as, a systemic problem.
Yes, yes. So, I was down in, went to the Coos Bay City Council meeting, and they were talking about homelessness. They spent an hour talking about why they couldn't do anything. You know, and that more than frustrated the people that were there. So at the end, one guy walked up and he pointed his finger at the city council and said, if you don't fix this, we will. That's where we're at, George Henry. The pot is starting to boil, and unless we address this as a crisis, people are going to get hurt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no doubt about that. Now, the other things that are going on, you wanted to mention were...
Well, I just briefly like to talk about the measures that are coming up, and Measure 1, 11 through 14. Universal health care, I'll be very honest, I'm going to vote no on all of these. Years ago, I had a teacher come to me and basically said, Boomer, when you're in a situation where we really quickly need a decision, most of the time you say no. And I said, that's true. And he says, why do you do that? I said, well, because if I have say no, I can come back later after thinking about it, look at everything there and vote yes. But if I vote yes, the train rolls down the track and it's hard to stop. Just like Measure 110 sounded wonderful. But look what's happened across the state. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have crime has gone up, drug use has gone up, because we put the cart in front of the horse. We weren't ready for the bill.
Right.
Just like any of these measures, we need to be ready for them. You're talking about Measure 111, universal health care. Sounds wonderful. Give everybody health care. But the problem is it's going to cost somewhere in the vicinity of $20 billion a year, which will actually double the state budget. So how do we afford that? I mean, do we look at taxes going up by 40%? I mean, that's a real factor. It's not free. Somebody's got to pay for it, and that's going to be businesses of the working class people. If we're looking at Measure 112, which is basically deals with saying that there's slavery in our prisons, people are forced to work, that's, I don't mind with getting rid of the terminology. But if we say that they don't have to work anymore, but if they do work, we have to pay them. Do we pay a minimum wage? If we do, then they need to pay taxes. Do they get the ability to have a union? Do they get PERS? I mean, you know, it looks on the surface.
What happened to committing a crime and paying the penalty?
Exactly. So, and then we look at Measure 113, which you know affects me directly, which says that 10 unexcused absences in the legislature and you're out. You can no longer be a legislator. Well, I'm sorry, but we're not kindergartners. We're not based on attendance. We're based on what we do in the community. And, you know, they talk about walkouts and, you know, in 1776, there were a very strong group of people that walked away from tyranny and abuse from the King of England. And they wrote a Declaration of Independence that said their right to protest is inalienable. It's the same here. The Democrats and Republicans have both used the walkout. The supermajority was so abusive and was causing the people, or would cause the people of this state some dire straits. So we need to have that right. That's doesn't make any sense at all. And then, of course, Measure 114, which has to do with guns. I was thinking of the way down here, because part of the gun bill says, no, you can't have the 30 magazines on guns. Well, let me tell you something. You can only have 10. I can change my magazine and my gun in 4.3 seconds. And so I can put 40 rounds in my gun in roughly 15, 16 seconds. So that doesn't make any sense at all. And on top of that, we're forcing the police to run gun training classes, and they didn't give them any money. So we're looking at $20 million minimum from the police. So actually, to a certain extent, it's defunding the police again. And to be very honest, I know one sheriff down south that says he won't enforce it. He just won't. So people in that county won't be able to get permits for guns because they won't be able to take the classes.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's always unintended consequences. When you see bills, vote no unless you really understand what the bill says. And not just what it says in the voter panel. Ask and ask and ask until you firmly understand what it will do and sometimes what the unintended consequences are.
Do you see any changes in the makeup of the representation here in the state? Do you think there'll be any seats made up by the Republican candidates?
Yes. Yes, I do. Of course, the polling for governor says Christine Drazen is ahead. Thank God. I think she'll do amazing things for Oregon. The House probably right now there's 37 Democrats and 23 Republicans. I think we'll move up to 28, 29. So we'll be more representation there. I think we'll take the Senate. I think they'll probably there's 30 of them. So I think we'll probably take 17 or 18 and be in charge, which will really be much fresh air for the legislature, that people will have to work together on both sides. And I'm really looking forward to that.
And again, you had mentioned off before we went on there, balance is the only thing you
sure.
really want.
Sure.
You want balance.
That's it. Just people talking together. We spent so much time away from the Capitol because of COVID and, of course, the maintenance things that are going on right now, that it's important that people get together and talk. And that's probably been one of the most frustrating things, particularly when I go to a committee meeting where we're not even allowed to debate. We're not even allowed to really ask questions. We're just given a whole bunch of information, and then we're supposed to, you know, submit our in writing questions later. Well, that doesn't really help.
Well, you know, just so you know, it happens that way everywhere. I sat in a Senate meeting one time in D.C., and John McCain was there, and he had this stack of papers that was 24 inches tall, and he was reading page after page, reading page. And you know what? There was three other people in there.
Yeah.
So nobody was listening anyway. No. It was in the record.
Yeah.
But whether or not anybody else read it, who knows?
Well, you get a, you know, first session, there were 2,400 bills and 800 passed. There were roughly about 800 bills in the last session and about 350 passed, roughly. So it's hard to keep up. And so
you're always getting new ones in, right?
Well, yeah, and some are 170 pages long, and most of them are legalese. So you have to have help. So I've appreciated the help that I've had from my colleagues. But I still want I really look forward to the opportunity to walk into my colleague next door, Democrat or Republican, to say, tell me about your bill. Why should I vote for it? Why is it important to your district? Why is it important to Oregon? And then I can share mine too. And so that we work together to make sure, again, that there's common sense in the bill and we actually help people instead of causing more problems.
Boomer Wright, appreciate you being here, and good luck coming up on November 8th.
Thank you. God bless.
Coming up next, I'll speak with Melanie Hurd with Crow about the Holly Jolly Follies on the November edition of Our Town.